Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 641. 641. Jesus, mighty God and Saviour, lead me forth by thy right hand, and be it my fixed endeavour to obey thy sweet command. Let me never at a trifling distance stand. Hymn 641.
Please, Almighty God, to bless his holy words, the profit of our souls this evening. We'll read together part of Psalm 78. Part of Psalm 78. And we'll read from verse 1 down to verse 39. It is a beautiful psalm, really, but we haven't really got time to read it all tonight. So there's a bit of homework for you all to do when you go home tonight. You can read the rest of the psalm. So Psalm 78 from verse 1 down to verse 39. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God, and refused to walk in his law, and forgat his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zion. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also, he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness, and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock, and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God, and trusted not in his salvation, though he had commanded the clouds from above, and opened the doors of heaven, and had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitations. So they did eat, and were filled, well filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. When he slew them, then they sought him, And they returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away, and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. We will leave the reading there this evening. May God bless his word to us and help us now to come to him in prayer. Let us all pray. Almighty, ever blessed, most merciful, gracious and holy Lord God, that one who we believe is indeed the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're thankful tonight, Lord, for the wonderful favour and privilege of being able to gather together to worship. But Lord, we're conscious that we've brought our bodies into this building tonight. And Lord, we need thy Holy Spirit to come and possess our hearts and minds, so that we may be numbered amongst those who are called the true worshippers, who worship God in spirit and in truth. O Lord, let us not try and deceive our God. For we know the word tells us God is not mocked. And we pray therefore that we as unworthy, puny sinners on the earth may not be left to mock thee, the great, the holy, the triune, omnipotent ruler of the universe. O Lord, help us to understand, help us to realize how small we are, how insignificant we are, and how great is our God. Lord, tonight, oh, we pray, thy Holy Spirit may be known and felt amongst us. Lord, let us not just be here to satisfy our conscience, but Lord, may we have come here tonight because, as we said this morning, be like the those of old, those ancient Greeks who came to Philip and said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Oh Lord, may we be on the stretch tonight. May we be hungry and thirsty for the things of God, the great things of God, the important things of God, the things that concern our salvation, the things that bring honour and glory to our God. Oh Lord, let us not be satisfied with just the husk. Oh, we pray, Lord, to be blessed with true and real religion. Oh Lord, we fear, Lord, being deceived, and we pray we may not be deceived, but that we may have the blessed and wonderful evidence of the life of God in our souls, in our innermost being, to be able to rejoice for what thou hast done and to praise our God from whom all blessings flow. Lord God, then, we seek to thee tonight that thou wilt remember us each with that favour thou bearest unto thy people. And therefore, Lord, do come and visit our souls with thy salvation. Lord, may it be a real burden, a real request from our very hearts that we're not cast us off, that we're not cast us away, as the word of God describes it, as a cumberer of the ground, something of no value. Oh, Lord, we pray tonight that would touch our hearts. And Lord, lead us into all truth as it is in Jesus. Lord, we bless thee that we are able to gather together as we are tonight We're thankful the laws of our land permit this. We're thankful, Lord, for the liberty that we enjoy. But Lord, we realise that these favours could quickly be removed. And Lord, how little do we really, really appreciate them. Oh Lord, we come and go. And we forget what we've done and what we've heard. And Lord, very quickly we're occupied with the poor things of time, which of necessity we have to. Oh Lord, we pray that thy Holy Spirit may bless us in such a way that we do not forget that which we read or sung or heard, that it may indeed be found abiding in our hearts, and that we may have the wonderful evidence that thou hast remembered us in our low estate. And so, gracious God, we come tonight. We're thankful, Lord, for the wonderful blessing of thy word. Lord, for the truth it contains from Genesis to Revelation. And Lord, we seek that we may walk up and down, as it were, in the pages, rejoicing to read the great truth of Scripture, rejoicing to read about the wonderful work of salvation, rejoice to read the free forgiveness of Almighty God. And so, Lord, we pray that thou wilt come to us tonight and, Lord, touch our hearts, young and old, Lord, whatever age we may be. Lord, we realise that we all have a common need, a need to know thee as our Lord and Master, as our great and glorious Saviour, as that one who gave his life that we might receive life. Oh Lord, how little we really appreciate the great goodness of our God. Lord, how very little we meditate upon the wonderful truths of God's word. Lord, how quickly our minds are infiltrated with the vanities of time, the things which perish with the using, the things which we must all leave sooner rather than later. And we do earnestly pray, Lord, tonight, we may have the evidence in our very soul that it is well with our soul. Oh, Lord, that great question, is it well with our soul? Oh, Lord, to be able to answer in the affirmative, yes, it is well, by thy grace, through thy love and wonderful mercy, to believe, Lord, thou hast come to us and quicken us, like the apostle said, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Lord, we know that we've all been dead. We pray we may all be alive. Gracious God, we know this is the wonderful and blessed work of the Holy Spirit. But we pray, Lord, we may know it has occurred in our hearts. Lord, let us not go just trundling on through this life with just a hope-so religion. But Lord, grant that we may have that earnest burden to know it is well with our soul, to know that the blessed and glorious Saviour entered into this world and paid that great enormous price to redeem us of all our sin. Lord, to rejoice in that great and glorious truth, redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Oh Lord, we pray tonight the death, the shed blood may be real and precious to us. May it, Lord, not just be something that we hear about and cast aside, but may it be something that penetrates into our hard heart and, Lord, shows to us the glory of redeeming love. And so, Lord, we earnestly pray that everyone here tonight may be touched by thy Holy Spirit. Lord, we're conscious that only Almighty God knows where we each stand in our spiritual life. Lord, whether we are still spiritually dead in trespasses and in sins, or whether, Lord, thou hast granted that new life so that we are born again, so that it has come to pass, as the blessed Saviour said when speaking to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again." Lord, we're conscious such words are reasonably familiar to us, but we pray, Lord, the application may be known. O Lord God, let us not be left to trifle with the great things of God. O Lord, how relative and important they are to every one of us. Lord, may we be able to have the evidence that we shall spend eternity with the Saviour and not be left to fall into hell. Oh, gracious God, thou knowest our hearts. Lord, thou knowest whether we're hypocrites in Zion, whether we pretend to be what we're not. Oh, Lord, we pray that we may have the wonderful evidence, therefore, of spiritual life, divine life. Lord God, the work is thine. We're thankful it is. We desire to not claim any glory ourselves, but Lord, thou art worthy indeed to receive all honour and glory for all thy great and glorious work. And help us, Lord, to realise the amazing cost it was to redeem our souls. And Lord, how glorious to think the Saviour willingly died that sin-atoning death on the cross at Calvary, that we might live eternally. Lord God Almighty, come then tonight. Thou knowest us all together. We've assembled here. And Lord, may truly we be waiting and watching to hear what God the Lord will speak to us. Lord God, the work is thine. Be with us each, Lord. Be with this church and people. Go before them, Lord. Richly bless them. May they all grow in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. May they dwell together in love and union. May they bear each other's burdens and pray for each other. May they seek each other's spiritual welfare. We're thankful, Lord, for the Bibles which are placed outside the chapel. We're thankful for those which have been taken over the period since it commenced. And gracious God, we pray earnestly. Therefore, there may be much blessing. Lord, thou hast permitted this freedom. And we're very grateful for it. But Lord, we don't want people just to take the Bible and put it on a shelf and forget about it. Lord, may they read it. And Lord, may thy Holy Spirit speak to them through thy word. Oh Lord God, we long for better days. We long, Lord, for days of spiritual blessing. And we pray, Lord, that this people may truly earnestly pray that thou would do great things. Lord, they live in this village. Lord, we pray that this place might be a place of blessing. Lord, nothing is too hard for our God, we believe. And we pray, therefore, that many hearts may be touched by thy Holy Spirit. Many people may come into this place seeking for blessing in their souls with a humble desire. What must I do to be saved? Lord, we pray thou put in the hearts of each one here that burden of prayer to pray for the salvation of those who live around this chapel. Oh Lord, let us not just go home and settle down in our armchairs and forget about the salvation of souls. Lord, let us never underestimate the value of a lost soul. And Lord, help us as we move around in the world today to never be ashamed of our Saviour. And Lord, may we be found seeking for opportunities to speak to those we meet with about the things of God, about the glorious way of salvation. Oh Lord, sometimes we're cowards, sometimes we're timid, sometimes we don't want to get ourselves in trouble. But gracious God, may thy Holy Spirit move us to such an extent that we only desire to do the will of Almighty God. And therefore, Lord, come and be our helper. And Lord, do great things then, we pray. Oh Lord, pour out thy Holy Spirit upon us so that we may pray in faith, believing that we come to a God who hears and answers prayer. We pray, Lord, for the Sunday school here that will bless indeed the children and young people. May they receive thy word, enter into their young hearts, and prove to be a wonderful blessing. Lord God, increase the Sunday school as well, if it could be thy will. Lord, there's many children in this area. Cause some to come and join with the children here. And Lord, we know that such situations might be difficult. They might indeed perhaps be disruptive even. But Lord, we pray that there may be an ingathering of precious souls, and there may be many children converted through this Sunday school. And Lord, may that be the concern of each one that worships here. Lord God Almighty, look upon this people then and bless them indeed. Indeed, Lord, we pray for the whole church worldwide. Lord, we know there are many who are persecuted because of their faith in the Saviour. We know there are many caught up in the war in Ukraine and other places where Christianity is not tolerated. And much opposition exists. Support, Lord, thy people in these areas. And we pray, if it could be thy will, there may soon be peace in the Ukraine. But Lord, we know there are many who are alienated from the things of God, many who hate the Christian religion. And Lord, thou canst come and touch the hardest heart. We know, Lord, we believe that nothing is too hard for our God. And so, Lord, we pray that we'll come and increase our faith. Help us, Lord, to carefully read and study thy word and realize how it directs us, what we should do and what we should say. And Lord, let us not hide from it. Oh Lord, we bless thee for the great and glorious gospel. We bless thee for it. And Lord, may we be looking forward with anticipation to the wonder of Emmanuel's land, realizing there is that inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, which is before the whole living church of God. Oh Lord, be with us. We pray, Lord, for the deacons of this church, that will help them and encourage them, Lord. May they not labour in vain, and grant they may be strengthened in their hearts and minds as they endeavour to lead the little church here. Oh Lord, bless them indeed. Bless the church. May there be a wonderful ingathering of precious souls. Oh Lord, those who are not in the church, Lord, may they be moved by thy Spirit to come and tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found, and point to thy redeeming blood and say, behold the way to God. Lord, may there be much rejoicing and much thankfulness. And so, Lord, we pray for each one. We pray for them as they gather together for service tomorrow. We pray, Lord, for Gerald Buss as he comes to preach the everlasting gospel. May the word go forth in power and much assurance. May it truly be a day of blessing and a day of favour for never dying souls. And may thy great name be lifted up and honoured and glorified. And so, Lord, once again we come to thee. We commit our way to thee. Lord, come now and make one with us. Visit our souls. Bless us indeed. Accept our thanks for every mercy and favour that we continue to receive day by day, and bless as we pray, as we ask you all in the worthy and all-prevailing name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 731, 731. Heal us, Emmanuel, here we are, waiting to feel thy touch. Deep wounded souls to thee repair, and Saviour, we are such. Hymn 731.
Thank you.
it please Almighty God to bless us together this evening as we meditate in his holy word. Let us turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 78, and we'll read verses 38 and 39. The book of Psalms, Psalm 78, and reading verses 38 and 39. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away, and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away, and cometh not again. We should be very thankful indeed that God in his wonderful mercy has given us a record of his dealings with Israel of old and how they turned their back upon God, how they disobeyed God, how the Lord was merciful to them, how the Lord heard their cries, how the Lord did not indeed come and deal with them as their sins deserve. We read in the 107th Psalm of his wonderful favour, and we're told, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And he says this then, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Well, that's good, isn't it? And that's the instruction of Almighty God, that those who are redeemed, those who are called by grace, this is their blessed occupation, to say what the Lord has done and to give thanks and to say, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." We might ask ourselves, when do we last say that? When do we last come and say, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever"? When did you last say that? Well, the psalmist says here very clearly, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses." Very similar words to what we have here in this 38th verse. And to realize that God is the same, we must not forget, as in Malachi, he says, "I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." You know, if you and I look into our hearts, look into our lives, we'll realize how we fail so very, very often. How perhaps we walk in an opposite way to the way that the Word of God directs us. Because we listen to that evil one, that subtle one, that great deceiver, the devil. His skills and his plans have not changed from the time in the Garden of Eden when he deceived Adam and Eve. And he just used that simple phrase, "hath God said," casting doubt. My friends, he uses the same technique today. He may have said, the same words into your heart. Yes, you may be relying perhaps, or hoping perhaps, on something that God has said, something that God has done, and the old devil comes along and he says, "Hath God said?" And what happens then? You're possessed with the evil heart of unbelief. Sad, isn't it? We should be very aware of the proposed and designed skill of the devil. He never wants us to acknowledge God's love. He never wants us to acknowledge God's work. He never wants us to testify of what he's done. And so often we're willing servants to the devil. Well, let us remember then that we do have a kind and compassionate God. These words are very wonderful, I think. But he, that being, of course, Almighty God, nonetheless, how amazing that is. But he, being full of compassion, full of compassion, he's mindful of us. He's tender in his dealings with us. Has he been tender in his dealings with you? Well, and me, I'm sure we have to all say, yes, he has. He hasn't dealt with me as my sins deserve, otherwise I wouldn't be here today. Is that true? Well, it is true. It is the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. That's what Jeremiah spoke when he wrote to the book of the Lamentations. He says precisely those words in the 22nd verse. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because, the same word, his compassions fail not. Do you recognize that as true? Do you recognize it's true in your own life? That it is of God's mercy that we're still here. Yes, a wretched, undone sinner on the earth, gone about pleasing ourselves, gone about saying, we won't have this man to reign over us. We're going to do what we want to do. We're not going to follow the word of God. We're not going to follow God's gracious instruction. We're not going to follow his word. No, we're taken in by the subtlety of Satan. Well, my friends, the word of God encourages us. Let us resist the devil, that he may flee from us. Resist him. It's not easy. The devil is very powerful. Very powerful. And don't forget, the devil never gives up. You're not like we are sometimes. We're weak and we give up. The devil never gives up. He keeps on pressing and pressing. But what a mercy it is if we are able to answer the devil just like our glorious Saviour did after he'd been baptised and he was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Those 40 days and 40 nights, and the devil came a number of times and tempted him, and the Saviour answered through Scripture. Now, my friends, as the devil comes to us, may we be able to answer him from Scripture. Don't try and fight him on any other ground. Don't fight him on his ground. Take him onto the holy ground of the Word of God. Tell him the Lord has said. If the Lord has given you a promise, and now the devil's trying to persuade you, it never emanated from him. Tell him it's God that has done it and God that has said it. I like a little story I refer to sometimes of John Warburton. John Warburton, as you know, was a man of God, a man wonderfully favoured, and he on one occasion was wonderfully blessed. And blessed so much that he went into a field and danced in the field to thank God for it. And the devil came alongside and he said to John Warburton, I did that. So John Warburton, in his quaint way, said, devil, if you did it, do it again. And of course, the devil wasn't able to. So you can attack the devil. Don't just give in to him. Resist him. Run away from him. Don't let him come and persuade you that your little hope is of no value. The Bible tells us, cast not away, therefore, your little hope. Don't despise the day of small things, but bless God for his work. So here we have then Jeremiah, that man of God. He lived in a difficult age when Israel were walking contrary to God, and he was almost a lone voice. He didn't back down. He didn't give up. He was faithful, declared what God had told him to the king, no less, and to others, what God would do, that he would come and destroy Jerusalem. Of course, they didn't believe it, the kings and the others, but of course it came to pass. He was a faithful servant of the Lord. And yet, you see, Jeremiah was a man like passions like we are. And this third chapter commences with these words, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me, and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Well, you and I would think, that can't be right. The man must have got it the wrong way round. Well, he hasn't. Because the Lord brings us sometimes in this way to show us our weakness and to show us the power and glory of God. And we may feel like old Jeremiah did, surely against me is he turned. This is why we have the word of God to encourage us. We may think, I must be out of the way. I can't be a believer. I can't be in this kind of situation. Read the word of God. Be strengthened by it. Because Jeremiah tells us what he was like. How he felt, surely against me as he turned. He turned his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. Well, you can read on, my friends, and again, a bit more homework for you. You can go home and read this third chapter in the Lamentations. And that's how he goes on until he comes down to verse 19 when he says, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. And then he says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. It's true, isn't it? God's tender mercies, God's compassions fail not. Aren't we thankful for it? I hope we are. Because this is the evidence. It is of the Lord's mercy that you and I are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. It's a complete change round, isn't it? You see how the Lord opens his eyes to see what the true picture was. There he was, moaning about his sad state. But then the Lord comes and opens his eyes to behold the wonder of his mercy, the wonder of his compassion. And therefore he says, comes and says this, the Lord is my portion saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. Well, tonight, what's our response to that position? Can we say, by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, the Lord is my portion? Saith the Lord, therefore will I hope in him. Is our hope tonight in the Lord? Do we hope in him? Because we're told then, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Sometimes we get impatient. The Word of God tells us, your time is always, but my time is not yet. There is sometimes in our spiritual life a proving time, a testing time. We mustn't get impatient. We should realize God's ways are higher than our ways. Your time is always, but my time is not yet. And then we can think of that wonderful example we have in the 40th Psalm of David, where he tells us very beautifully, I waited patiently for the Lord. Did he wait in vain? And he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also as of a horrible pit. Sometimes, my friends, a horrible pit is the evil heart of unbelief. Yes, it's a big pit, it's a big hole, it's a deep hole. The evil heart of unbelief. He brought me up. The Lord brought him up. He didn't do it himself. He couldn't get out because it was miry clay, slippery, stuck to his boots. He couldn't get out. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And he didn't say, now get on with it, David. I brought you up out, get out of it. No, this is what he did. And set my feet upon a rock. The rock, Christ Jesus. Unmovable. And established my goings. Established us in the things of God. This is the gracious God we have. But you see, the Lord leads us in this way. He brings us in this way. He brings us down. So there's no hope in ourselves. So that he receives the honour and glory. Perhaps we might say we come to wit's end corner. We're not sure what to do or how to proceed. Wait on the Lord. David waited patiently for the Lord. And he comes and says, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. The evidence of deliverance is praise to God. Praise to God. A new song. You may not have sung it before, but now there's deliverance. Now the Lord's been your helper. Now the Lord's brought you up out of the horrible pit. And therefore he's put a new song in your mouth, even praise unto our God. And what's the benefit? The benefit is to God's honour and glory, because many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. You see how God works in a glorious and yet sometimes mysterious way. But he works in that way which is indeed for his honour and for his glory. And how thankful we should be that we have such a God as this. Well, just to carry on for just one more verse in Lamentations. It is good that a man should hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Well, you see, it's good if the Lord gives us grace so to do. And so, as we come back to this verse here, but he, being full of compassion, what did he do? Forgave their iniquity. All of us need our sins, our iniquities, to be forgiven. My friends, it's only God that can do this. You and I can't do it. You and I might think, oh, well, I'll change and I'll be a better person and I'll do this and go this way and say this. My friends, we need the work of the Holy Spirit to come and to cleanse us from all iniquity. Now think of this. He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity. We've got the example here in this 17th chapter of Israel, how they walked contrary to God. And we may have to say, that's me, Lord. I've walked contrary to thee. 32nd verse. For all this, they sinned still and believed not his wondrous works. We may have to solemnly and sadly say, that describes me. For all this, all his mercy, all his favour, we've been stubborn. Perhaps you've said, I will not believe. I will not believe. Well, the good news is this. The Lord can break down the hardest, most rebellious heart. Because nothing is too hard for the Lord. No case is too extreme. You may think, well, my case is just hopeless. Well, we have some hopeless cases in the Word of God. I like sometimes to think of the case of King Manasseh. He was a son of Hezekiah and a good father. Didn't make any difference. He was the most wicked king. The most wicked king. He turned against all the things of God and went his own way. Pleased himself. And if we read the account in the Kings, we'll think he died in that state. But if you read the account of him in Chronicles, you'll find the Lord came to him. And the Lord caused him to consider. The Lord brought him to confess his sins and to mourn deeply for all that he'd done. And the Lord had mercy upon him and the Lord redeemed him. Take courage, sinner. No one is beyond the reach of Almighty God. No one is beyond the mercy of Almighty God. And why? Because this God, our God, is full of compassion. Full of compassion. Tender in his dealings. He doesn't deal with us as our sins deserve, otherwise we wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here, I wouldn't be here. His compassion forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. The evidence is, you see, that they deserve to be destroyed. They disobeyed God. They turned against him, just like us. Have you not disobeyed God? I'm sure if you're honest, you have to say, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I've said in my heart, I will not have this man to reign over me. May not have said it outwardly, but that's how you acted. You've acted contrary to the word of God. You haven't followed the word of God. You've said, therefore, in your heart, I will not have this man to reign over me. Well, what a blessing that Lord hasn't dealt with us as our sins deserve. And why? It's because of this great favour, full of compassion. It's a glorious statement, isn't it? Full. The Lord doesn't lack in compassion. He's full of compassion. There's compassion there for you and there's compassion there for me. Can we not bless God for it? Full of compassion. And because of that compassion, because of his mercy, because of his love, because of his favour, he forgives our iniquity. He forgives the hardness of our heart. He forgives our rebellion. He forgives the way we walked contrary to God. And we have the example here in this chapter of the Israelites of old. Well, it's this whole chapter, I've told you to go home and read it because it's worth it. And it shows some of the things where Israel disobeyed God. But you know, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you won't be able to point your finger and say, well, Israel, they were much worse than me. They were much worse than me. Because when the Holy Spirit convicts, we don't point fingers. We only point the finger at ourselves. And we have that reference, thou art the man. That's what Nathan the prophet came and spoke to David when he told him about that ewe lamb. And David's heart was eventually touched. And he realized, although he was very upbeat about it to begin with, he realized that he was the man, the guilty man. And you see, when the Lord applies his word and brings us into that position where we're guilty, we understand what David wrote in the 51st Psalm. And he speaks very wonderfully, really. And he prays, it's his prayer. It's a wonderful prayer. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. We could say there, thy compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. And he says, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. He was therefore condemned in his heart before a holy God. That's a great blessing, isn't it? If the Lord graciously has compassion upon us and causes us to be condemned in our heart, so that we have to come in contrition and bow down before our Maker, Almighty God, and acknowledge our situation. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. That's where we must all come. Everyone. Real religion is not skin deep. Real religion is complete. And so to think about this great and wonderful confession. And he tells us, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And then he says this, behold, thou, Almighty God, desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. That's something that no one sees apart from God. You and God know about it. No one else knows it. Hidden things. You need them forgiven. You need God to come and wash you clean. And so he says there, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Well, all of us need to be washed. And how are we washed? We're washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. That's the washing. That cleanses from all sin. As I said in prayer, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And let us remember, there's no sin in heaven. You can't get into heaven with any sin. You need it all washed away. There's only one way, through the precious blood of Christ. That's why the Apostle Peter speaks those beautiful words, redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. He knew the value of it. He knew the necessity of it. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. We hear joy and gladness when the Lord speaks to our soul and tells us that we are forgiven, that we can indeed rejoice in what the blessed Lord has done and how he has indeed come and redeemed our soul. Yes, it's a wonderful freedom and it's a wonderful fullness. Fullness resides in Jesus. What a mercy that is and what a blessing it is. And so we're told, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. He didn't destroy David. He doesn't destroy the repenting sinner. You know, repentance is not something which is easily obtained. And sometimes we might think that in order to repent, the Lord will bring us into some terrible, agonizing situation, perhaps physically, which we may fear. But let me tell you this. In Romans, we read this. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. See, God deals very graciously with compassion to our soul. In love to our soul, he deals very compassionately. The goodness of God. When you realize you walk contrary to God, has God cut you off? No, you're still on praying ground. The compassion of God, the mercy of God, the love of God. Glorious, isn't it? Humbling, isn't it? You deserve to be cut off. David deserved to be cut off. We all deserve to be cut off. But it's because of God's compassion that we're not. And so David says, make me to hear joy and gladness, and the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my transgressions. It isn't so I've got this big sin, I need this to be blotted out. All his transgressions, all his sins. And you and I need the same application so that we're able to say, I'm clean. Just God, I'm clean. Not through what I've done, but through the great and glorious and finished work of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he comes and says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Perhaps we've had a wrong spirit. God knows. You know. You may have had a wrong spirit. Well, says David, he had a wrong spirit. And what does he say? Create in me a clean heart and renew. Give me a right spirit. He says, it's submission to God. Turn round. What a blessing it is to have a God like this. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Well, we may just ask, do we know something of the joy of salvation? There is joy in salvation. It's wonderful to realize that we're free. Just God, I'm free. And if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. There's wonderful freedom in Christ. Wonderful freedom to know that all our sins are forever washed away and it's well with our soul. And by God's grace one day we shall be with him in glory. And so he comes down in this 51st Psalm. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. It's important in our little lives to praise our God. If the Lord has come and touched our hearts and given us to know his favour and his mercy, what a blessing it is then to know this great and wonderful favour. And so he says here, but he being full of compassion forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not, yea, many a time turned his anger away. What do you say to that? Do you say, well, I've been guilty of many a times. I've turned my back upon God. I've rebelled against his dealings with me. I've tried to walk in an opposite way. Many a time, says the psalmist, turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. Isn't that humbling to think that Almighty God, and I do want you to get a right grasp of this, Almighty God, the one who created the whole universe, so high lifted up as Isaiah saw, yet graciously, wonderfully condescends to look right down upon us individually. Why should he? Because of his love. That's why. Because he loved us so much, he died for us, that you and I might be forever with him in glory. This is the great and wonderful Saviour that we have. He remembers that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. What a mercy, isn't it, that we have a God who remembers that we are but flesh. He knows how weak we are. He knows how weak we are. And it's, again, a glorious thought to think. To think this, the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. We have a great and glorious advocate who understands our position. And you know, you and I can come to our God and we can pour out our heart to our God because he understands. He's not someone who is an alien, not someone who doesn't appreciate our position. He knows what temptations we're going through. He knows what oppositions we're facing because he faced the same. Remember that. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. This is the great and glorious friend we have. Oh, that hymn's beautiful, isn't it? What a friend we have in Jesus. Is Jesus your friend and is he my friend? And are we able, therefore, to come to him, casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. He cares for me. It's very humbling, I hope it is, very humbling to realize that although God is so great and powerful, nonetheless, he condescends to come where we are. And as his word says, he's full of compassion, tender mercies. He looks upon us and he deals with us in love to our soul. Go home, Ponder these things. See whether God has been tender in his mercy toward you. You're going to have to conclude yes, because if it wasn't so, you wouldn't be here. And then follow on and trace out his goodness and his mercy, and seek unto him that he will reveal himself unto you as he does not unto the world. It's a great and wonderful blessing to know my Jesus crucified, says the hymn writer, by far excels all things besides. Yes, we seek after many things in this poor world, but don't forget, Jesus is the one thing needful. I, without him, perish must. And may the Spirit indeed make us heedful of this great truth and be concerned to know that we are blessed with our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that is the testimony of our hearts, the desire to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that I might know him, says the Apostle Paul. I often refer to it because it's such a wonderful statement that the Apostle makes in the third chapter of the Philippians. And he says that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He knew the great need of that. And in earlier verses he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Well, how do you rate that statement? What do you think about that? That's the Apostle Paul's statement. Doubtless, there was no doubt. No doubt. He counted all things but loss, on the one hand, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Well, what do you think of that tonight? Is that a true desire? A hunger and thirst after the desire to know Jesus Christ and him crucified. This far excels all the things of this life. I'll tell you why. The things of this life are temporal. They'll all be finished in a very short time. You might live many, many years. You'll have to leave them all behind. Blessings in Christ are eternal. They will never perish. They'll never fade away, and they last forever. See the vast difference. May it be, may you come and say humbly before Almighty God, give me Christ, or else I die. He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away, and did not stir up his wrath, for he remembered. Oh, my friends, God does remember. Blessed be God. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Gerald Buss will preach tomorrow at our anniversary services at 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock. And there'll be a prayer meeting for church members on Friday evening. And Mr. Jonathan Buss is engaged to preach next Lord's Day. And he also hopes to administer the Lord's Supper. Let us close with hymn 599. 599. Ye sons of God, be wise and learn your Father's will. By faith lift up your eyes to yonder shining hill. No smoke, no thunderbolts are there, nor wrath to sink you in despair. Hymn 599.
Grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Eternal Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.